Of your Bible, if you would do that. We're going to be in the first psalm, Psalm number 1. All right? I've got page 743. Yeah, there you go. Glad that we're able to be in the house of the Lord today, and glad that we can open up the pages of the Word of God without any fear or thought of persecution. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. There's some trouble brewing and has overspilled in Kabul and Afghanistan. Not only do we have some of our troops left, some of the American citizens are there, but we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are literally dying because they're Christian. And we need to be praying for those people there. Pray for God to just send his Spirit to help them through this difficult time. Father, we rejoice in the Lord today that we're able to be in the house of the Lord. We're a free people. We thank you for that freedom. But it seems like we have brothers and sisters in the Lord that are facing some very severe persecution. And I pray, Lord, for their families. Some have said that it's just a matter of knocking on a door and asking if they're Christians, and others have said that if they look at their phone and see a Bible app on their phone, then their life is taken. Lord, if that's the case, we pray for the Christians around the world that they would be able to stand under that kind of persecution. As we bring it home, we're thankful that we don't have to face that, but we may. And I pray you would help us to be dedicated and for the cause of Christ, that we would be willing to stand even in the face of maybe our last breath. And I pray that today that you would just help us trust your plan. We know the end times are on us. We know that the Scripture is telling us that perilous times will come. And we're seeing those. We also know that we read that you will not have us enter the tribulation. So even this persecution that we're seeing and some are facing in this time is nothing to be compared with the age of that 7 years of tribulation that will be upon the world, and the Christians will be taken out of that. We could easily pray, Lord, come quickly. We don't want any of that problem, all of those persecution things. We don't want to have to face that. My prayer is that that would be an amazing escape. But my prayer is more importantly that we would stand under the face of that kind of persecution as well. I pray as we enter this first psalm today, you would open our eyes and our hearts to your truth. May learn and grow together as we glean what you're going to teach us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The book of Psalms. We are there in the first psalm. We're going to be talking about two men going two ways, and they'll have two destinies. They're going to be going over a journey on a journey through the Psalms of the next few weeks, probably a couple of months here. Many writers have contributed to the Psalms. Maybe as you read them, you'll look on the front or the very top of some of the Psalms. They say a Psalm of David. There are 73 Psalms that are ascribed to David's pen, who wrote sometimes when he was rejoicing in the Lord. Sometimes he wrote when he was in trouble, being chased down by some severe adversaries. We know that also Moses wrote one psalm, Psalm 90. And then Solomon wrote a couple. The sons of Korah wrote 11. Asaph, 13. You get the point. There's many contributors to the book of Psalms. So when you're reading through the book of Psalms, you'll just have to pay attention to the top of the page as you're looking at the top of that chapter. For instance, you know, sometimes you know that Solomon wrote, there's nothing new under the sun, right? You know that in the book of Ecclesiastes. Well, take a look at the title. Maybe on your Bible it's printed this way, but on mine it says, Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies. Boy, what a great title that would be for a sermon. So that was provided for me by the Lord himself right here as the top of the Bible. And then you'll also note that The title of the book is the Book of Psalms. You'll see that, the Book of Psalms. The word Psalms in Hebrews means praise or book of praises. Literally, this would be like a song book, if you will. So many of these psalms are sung at different times throughout the Jewish history and their life. And so they put their words in a song book. There are many types of psalms in the Book of Psalms, but all of them have Christ as the object of our worship. So we're pleased to be able to open the Word of God and learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the psalm that we're going to be looking at today invites us to consider these two men who walk two different ways. These two men are going to end up heading two different directions, and all of these things are going to be catching our attention. But as we notice that, there are two roads upon which all people will travel, ultimately, right? We understand that. It's not about Highway 287 or 285 or 85 or 29 or 25 or 35 or 43 or whatever the road you're on. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the road of life. There is a road that will lead you to God and to heaven. There is a road that many people are on as well that will lead us to destruction and ultimately hell if we don't get off of that road. There is a road sign in Alaska that says this: choose your rut carefully. You will be in it for the next 60 miles. And I don't know if that's a current sign. I would hope that roads in Alaska are now maybe paved. If you ever watch like those ice road truckers or whatever, some of those roads might be rutty, you know, and taking your life in your hands when you drive them. But you get the point. You're going to be on the road that you're going to be choosing, and it's going to be difficult for you to get out of the road or the rut that you might be in, and you need to choose wisely the direction that you're going to go with your life. Jesus made this statement in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction." Now look, notice, Jesus said, many go in by that wide road. It's easy to drive. I like the super highways, don't you? I like to be able to set my cruise control and just kind of drive, you know. I mean, yeah, you got to pay attention. You know, there might be a tire that will come across the median, and you got to kind of avoid that or whatever. You got to watch for an animal that might jump across the fence and maybe want to enter your road. It's like, you know, this is a true story. There was a lady in Minnesota that wrote a letter to the Department of Transportation to please move the deer crossing sign to a place where there wouldn't be so much traffic because these poor deer are getting hit. Okay, we'll just leave that right there. Many go in, right? And there's a wide road. It's such an easy road to drive on. There's not a lot of thinking that goes involved, right? But Jesus also said, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there are who find it. Now, Jesus explained to his followers that there were these two different roads. One road is going to be an easy, everybody's on it, it must be the right way. And there is another road where fewer of us are traveling on that road, and a lot of people are not really cut out to lead that narrow life. There was a guide that was conducting a tour of the Empire State Building a few years ago with a group of tourists. On the elevator ride up to the 102nd floor, one woman asked the question, "What if the elevator cable breaks? Would we go up or down?" Now, you will be able to tell a lot about someone's theology when he answers that question, but the elevator guide responded, "It depends on the kind of life that you've been leading? Great answer, right? Now, if we were all on Family Feud and your relative would have said that, you would have said, good answer, good answer. Because that's kind of how we respond to things like that. But that is not a good answer, is it? We know that going to heaven or hell is not dependent on whether or not we've led a good life. That whether we've been good or bad. The destiny of all people rests on this one question. What have you done with Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Or have you rejected him? Said, I'll wait another time. John chapter 14 verse 6 says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Telling us that Jesus is the only way to heaven. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible tells us, neither is there salvation in any other. Jesus is the only name whereby we must be saved. There's not salvation in any other way or any other person. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 explains to us very simply, if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him, Christ, from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I hope there's been a time in your life when you've recognized that you were a sinner before you rode up on that 102nd floor elevator and the cable might break, and then you're faced with your eternal destiny. Where would you go? Where would you end? John MacArthur wrote in one of his commentaries in Matthew, he said, when we preach that Christ is the only way to God, it is because it is God's way and God's only way that men are to find salvation and eternal life. And I agree with him completely. It is the only way. Even though the scripture warns us following the wrong path will be not a good thing, there are some who are following that path, but many have decided that they would go their own way. And according to Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto a man. That is the end, or the end is the way of death. So as we look at this first psalm today, we're going to be confronted with two men, two ways, and two destinies. Let's just take a look at it quickly. I'll read it, you listen, as I read to you in verse 1. It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's first of all look at the way of a few. Few there be that find that narrow road, right? Verses 1 through 3, it says, blessed is the man. That's what it starts out with. And if you want to be a blessed person, you're going to follow the ways of God, right? That would be the very sensible, logical, biblical thing for us to gather from this passage of Scripture. The first three verses of this psalm are teaching us about the way of the blessed man. And then if you look at verse 4, it says, the ungodly are not so. There's a natural division in this psalm. This morning we want to look at the blessed man. He is, first of all, a blessed man. The way of a few, verses 1 and 2, tells us the blessed man, which means happy, or as you would say, blessed. The psalmist warns us how a blessed man lives and walks. Because of the way of the few, he's going to avoid the things, the trappings of this world, if you would. We notice, first of all, that he's told that he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If you are going to be a man or a woman who follows the Lord and follows his word, you're probably hearing what the ungodly say, but you're not going to follow what the ungodly will say. It's not that we turn our ears deaf to them, because they might cry out for a reason of the hope that's in us. And if we've completely shut our ears from what the ungodly are saying, we may not have the opportunity to lead them into the ways of righteous living and finding Christ. So the writer of this psalm is saying that the blessed man does not listen or does not walk after the world's counsel. I'm going to throw a few verses here on the screen for you to think about. One is Proverbs 4, verse 14, where Solomon instructed his son. He says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked." Why is he saying that? I think the reason why Solomon is telling his sons that they should not be entering the path of the wicked is because eventually we will wind up like them. You listen to someone long enough, and before long, instead of the biblical sense that you have to say, "I don't agree with that," it takes a little bit of time for it to begin to sink in, and you say, "You know, that's not such a bad thought. Maybe that wouldn't hurt me so much." You get what I'm saying? You start down the slippery slope. The blessed man listens to and follows the advice of the Word of God, the people of God, God Himself. There's another passage of Scripture in Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Now, it starts off this way. "He who walks with wise men will be wise." I like that part of the verse. If you walk with wise people, some of that wisdom might rub off on you, right? And you're like, "I want to be smart. I'm going to hang around with smart people." It's better than hanging around with smart aleck people, right? You become smart aleck when you do that, right? So we need to listen to that. But here's what the last part of that verse, and this is a warning to us. "A companion of fools will be destroyed." A companion of fools will be destroyed. So it's important for us to not walk after the world's counsel. In Psalm 37 and verse 23, the Bible just comes right out and says, "Listen, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Amen? We need to be listening to God's word. It makes sense that we follow godly people then and listen to the words of God, right? And so we need to be thinking about that. If you want to be a blessed person, that person is going to follow not the ways of the world, but God's ways, God's word. So let's not walk after the world's counsel. The second thing we notice in this first verse is that this blessed man does not stand in the way of sinners. This way refers to a road. If you were to read it in your New King James Bible, it would say, "Nor stands in the path of sinners." That path or that way refers to a road. It's important to be on the wrong or to be on the right road, not on the wrong road. How many of you have ever driven a little bit of a distance on the wrong road? It's frustrating, isn't it? You thought you were making great time because you were driving. There's not very much traffic. This is awesome. Oh, I'm about 100 miles off course. And I got to turn around or find a way through this where I'm going to where I really need to be. It's frustrating getting on the wrong road. Well, let's take a look, if you would, with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 through 16. Proverbs 4 is telling us some instruction about this father of Solomon telling his boys, his sons, really some things that they need to know, his children. So it probably his daughters were in there too, I'm sure. Let's start in verse 10. He says in verse 10 of Proverbs 4, he says, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." It's important sometimes to just grab the attention of our children and say, "Listen up," right? He's telling them, if you hear my advice, if you listen to me, your life could be extended. You want your children to live a long life? You want to teach them the Word of God. You want to teach them the ways of God. You want them to practice that. Not just, okay, Dad, all right, I get you. You want them to listen so that they what? Follow in those paths, right? Verse 11, he says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, talking about wisdom here, she is your life. Now, it's the value of seeing, being on the right road. You see that value that Solomon was making sure that their children, listen up, this is important. My fifth grade teacher back in Wyoming, if you knew one thing about when she was teaching, that if she would say these words, this is important for you to know, is how she would say this. That meant your ears better perk up and you better listen because there's a test and this is going to be on it. I learned that the hard way the first time. And from then on, whatever she would say, this is important for you to know, it was important for me to know. And Solomon is saying to his sons, listen up. Make sure that you take hold of this instruction. Do not let it go. It is so important for us to keep wisdom. It is your life. You're going to meet up with somebody in the world who's a fool, the Bible says. And the way of a fool, the companion of fools will be destroyed, right? There is a way that seems right to a man. The way is the end of death. And are we listening to the world's advice? Are we walking in those? We need to not stand in the way of sinners either. But look at verse 14. He begins the opposite side. Not just listen to wisdom, but he says, listen to verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they, listen to this, verse 16. They do not sleep until they have done evil, and their sleep is not taken away unless they make someone fall. Did you see that? It's so important not only to lead your family on the right road, but the wicked are not going to rest until they get you to fall. Just let that sink in for a second. I think it's so important for us to understand the longer that we hang around with the ungodly, the more we're going to consider their ways. And it's going to end up hurting us more than helping us. The third thing we find here in this first verse in Psalm 1 is that we also see that they should not sit in the seat of the scornful. A scorner in the Bible is one who mocks. And we see this individual who would mock sin, God, and righteousness. Have you ever met anybody who is a mocker, a scorner today? I've met many of them. Oh, that religion. You know, they talk it like it's some kind of a fairy tale, right? It's some kind of a make-believe thing. And this God of yours, if he was real, we would be able to see him. He's not been able to be seen, so he's not. I read God's Not Dead movie. There was an argument that one of the students and the professor who was an atheist that were having, and, you know, we can't see something. And the young man finally got enough courage to say, do you have a brain? We can't see it. You can't touch it. So you must not have a brain. And he's like, oh, that's really hilarious, you know. But the idea here is, no, you might not be able to see God, but that does not mean there is no God. You sit in the seat of the scornful. Let others mock. Let others mock sin. Eternity, hell, heaven, God. But a true believer should stand up for Jesus and have him be. We should have, God has our back. We should have his, right? Notice this picture here, that the first thing you see is that there is one who is walking. Starts out walking. You walk, not in the counsel of the ungodly, but then you end up standing in the path of sinners. This pause in the method of travel, it will cause you to be filled with the way of the wicked. You're gathering not just information, but you're standing there taking it in, right? And eventually this man is found sitting in the seat of the scorner. You're sitting there. It's like you used to walk. You had an opportunity to walk away, but then you were standing. You still had the opportunity to walk away, but you're not. And now you're sitting down and you're taking it all in. I believe if you were to read the book of Genesis, you would see a man named Lot. You remember Lot? But, well, we remember Lot's wife because the Bible tells us to. It's kind of like the Alamo. You have to. But Lot was a man who was a nephew of Abraham. And he's an excellent example of what we're talking about here, who is called righteous in the Bible. He began to head down the wrong road. You know, one day in Genesis 13, we read how Lot chose the land that surrounded Sodom and Gomorrah because it was a well-watered. The plains were beautiful. The eye was catching him, the beauty of the land that was there. And Abraham allowed him to take that selection. You know, he wasn't going to say, no, that's the good land. I want that land. But Lot got his choice. You know what Lot did after he chose that land? The Bible tells us in Genesis 13 that Lot literally pitched his tent so that the first thing that he would see when he would open the flap in the morning is Sodom and Gomorrah. Now think about that. Not only are you getting the land, you're selecting what you are pleasing of the eye, but now he's pitching his tent so that when he opens up the gate in the morning, it's like, you know, this beautiful city that I want to live in someday. That is such a beautiful city. In Genesis 19, we read that Lot literally sat in the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see the digression? The same digression that the psalmist wrote about here, right? When he said, don't stand or don't walk after the world's counsel. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You're going down, down, and down. Another message will tell us what happened to get Lot out of the city. But what happened is he allowed his eyes to be attracted to the world. He then moved his heart toward the center of his affection. And before he knew it, he was living in that cesspool. We need to make sure that as a blessed man, that we are not taking that road. The second thing we notice about this blessed man is that he is a stable man. He is stable. We see that in verse 3. Take a look here. It says, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Why is that significant? Because it's drawing nutrients from the water. The source of water there is going to continue to feed the tree. It's going to be strong then. The roots are going to go deep because there's water, right? We also notice something about this stable man is that this tree is bringing forth its fruit in its season, not like a couple of the sad trees that we have on our property out there by the sidewalk, where there's a lot of branches but not very many leaves. You know, you might have a tree like that in your yard. You know, in the book of Luke, there was a husbandman that was at the tree, and he was going to cut it down. And the Lord said, let's wait. Let's give it one more year and see if it produces fruit or not. And they waited, and it was fruitful. Sometimes we have seasons of our life where we're not fruitful, and we need some fertilizing, some water, some nutrients to help us grow in the things of the Lord, right? Well, here we find that this tree brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. It's a strong tree, vibrant tree. And the thing that I also like about this stable picture is that whatever he does shall prosper. Do you love that? I love that. You know, when I think about whatever I do, there are some things that I do that just don't go well. How about you? Have you ever made a mistake in life and wish you had that over? Well, here, whatever this man does is prospering. Why? Because his mind is in the things of the Lord. He's a blessed man. He's walking after the counsel of God. He's listening to what God's word has to say. He's sitting in the seat of where the blessing is so that the blessings will pour out onto his life and it causes him to be stabilized. This good man is satisfied from above. In Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, Jeremiah said this, "Your words were found, and I did eat them." And he says, "And they were, it was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." You know, there's a lot of things that I would think about eating, but Jeremiah said, "Your words I will eat." It's literally, I'm consuming them into my life. I'm allowing them to become a part of me because your word is so true and precious. A good man is also not only satisfied from above, from what the word of God is able to give to us, but this good man will be supplied from above as well. This fruit of his life is going to be seen because the Holy Spirit of God enables you to be fruitful, right? You can't bear it on your own, but you're prosperous. You want to be like this person, right? This blessed man. It'd be easy to end the message right here because we want to end on a high note and say, well, I want to be that guy. I want to be that person, blessed, you know, walking in the right ways. But there's a reminder in this 4th through 6th verse that there's a way of futility in this passage as well. And it's important for us to know that because not all of us are going to be walking the right road. The ungodly are not so. Notice the difference. One is planted in verse 3, right? That blessed man is planted. He's got the water supply. He's not withering. Whatever he does is prosperous. And then we see here that the ungodly are like the chaff, which the wind drives away. A little wind. And the chaff is going into the wind, right? It blows away. You know, maybe some of you have an agricultural enough of a background that you know the difference between the wheat, the seed is heavy and it will fall. But what is the chaff is like that dust and those things that are the impurities, the heavy wheat, the seed will go and the wind blows away all the dirt and the chaff. Hosea 13:3 describes the end of the wicked, where he says, "They will be like chaff blown off the threshing floor and like smoke from a chimney." The prophet continues to add, "There's no Savior beside me." If you're following the ways of futility, you're following not the Lord, you're following an ungodly road. I would rather be planted firm, right, than be blown around. How about you? Even Paul said that in our doctrine, if we're standing in the Word of God, if we're reading the Word of God, if we're making it a part of our life, we will not allow for us to be blown around by every wind of doctrine. I think that applies here like chaff. If we don't have any solid footing in the Word of God, we're going to be blown all over the place. I want to be planted. How about you? And notice also in verse 5 that this wicked, he says, will not stand. In verse 5, we find this tree planted by the rivers of water. It's fruitful. The leaf is not withering. Whatever he does is prospering, right? There's a prosperous life that's involved in it. They're standing. But God says in verse 5, the wicked, the ungodly, shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, don't take that and say that there's ungodly people who can't stand in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly are welcome to attend our church service, but they can't stand. No, it's not what that means. The ungodly can come to church and they can hear the gospel, and if they get saved, they will be part of the righteous congregation, won't they? But here's what God is saying. In the day of judgment, there is nothing that will allow that wicked person to stand and say, "I did the right thing. I was hoping that all of my good deeds would outweigh all of my bad deeds." Have you ever heard a wicked person, an ungodly person say that? One who does not know Christ, they're banking on their good works to get them into heaven. And God's word is saying, nope, that's not going to happen. The righteous will stand before the Lord and will be blessed with eternity with Jesus, number one. But also the blessed people, the righteous, will stand before the Lord and be blessed with rewards for our faithful service for the Lord. But what are the wicked? What are the wicked going to have? The wicked will be judged by the Lord and they will be cast into everlasting darkness. From the Lord. Zephaniah, another minor prophet in chapter 1, verse 14 through 18, describes how God will judge wicked men. And according to verse 18, he says, neither silver nor gold will be able to deliver them. You're not going to stand. If you're ungodly, and what I mean by that is if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the end is going to end in death. Separation from God. But notice verse 6. He says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. It's like your location is on. Right? And when God has put in within you His Holy Spirit, His location chip is with you wherever you go. He knows the road you're on. He knows where you're heading. He knows who you are. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, he says, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. He says, the Lord knows those who are His. He knows that you're one of His. He knows you. In John 10, the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Because there's a relationship there, isn't there? So we see that God knows the way of this righteous. He knows the way of the righteous. The Bible tells us that God protects those who are His. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Not only does God know you're on the road, but He also is like your AAA protection. He's taking care of you. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He's not going to just let you sit there with a flat tire or a tank out of gas. God will come to your aid. Amen? He is there to protect you. Ward off those evil thugs that might try to hurt you until God is there to protect you. And God rewards those who are His as well. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 tells us that we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But, you know, that shouldn't be a moment of terror in our life, should it? Because we're not going to be judged by our sin because Jesus took care of all of that. Amen? Praise God for that. We're going to receive rewards, or there might be a loss of reward because of the way that we're living for our Christ. But the way of the wicked will perish. The way of the ungodly will perish. Now, Jesus told those who thought they were His, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, to depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That is a judgment and a statement that's going to send chills down the spines of many, many people who thought they were related to Christ because of all the things that they were doing. But the one thing that they didn't do is confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart God raised Christ from the dead, they would have been saved. The way of the righteous man is characterized by one who loves God and lives for Him. This first psalm identifies the paths that we need to be taking. Which road are you on, right? Are you on the path of the righteous? Are you following God's word? Are you listening to His advice? Are you sitting in His lecture hall and learning from God? Or are you following the path of the wicked? Have you bought in to the lie of the devil? Are you thinking that you can balance both out at the same time? You can't. The way of the wicked is a road where God offers no protection. There is no AAA there. The only remedy available to you on that road is calling out to God to save you. Recognizing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and when you call out to Him, no matter where you are, no matter how deep you're in, Jesus saves. My advice for you today is to listen to the words of Paul when he wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's today. Don't wait another day. So which person are you? These two men, these two people that are traveling down this road. And which way are you following? Have you kind of thought about maybe the ways that you make decisions in your life? Are you kind of mixing it up a little bit? Or which destiny are you headed for? I think the most important question on that list of questions is, where are you heading? What have you done with Jesus? Is your eternity settled? And when your eternity is settled for Christ, you don't have time to be messing around with the things of this world and listening to the thoughts of the wicked and understanding that there's another philosophy out there. Paul said in Colossians 2, don't be caught up with the false philosophies of this world, but we need to be following after God. And we need to be listening to God's word. Two men are heading two different ways, are going to end up in two different destinies. Be on the right road, following the right plan. Father, we thank you for your word today and the power of it. And I thank you, God, for directing us into this text that helps us understand that there are two different ways that we can really be going in our lives, and we need to be following the right road. And men and women, husbands and wives, are leading their children on the right road, teaching their children godly ways. Listen to the ways of God. Don't let it go. Older people in our lives, as we've, maybe now we are our grandparents, and we need to be helping our grandchildren understand the ways of Jesus and living out our life in a way that would be pleasing to God and directing them to the right road as well. There's so much packed in this that we could have unfolded, but for the time, Lord, we just ask that your word would remain clear in our mind, that we would head on the right road. We would follow it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, for a while, are we off, Joe? All right. For a while, we have been waiting for an opportunity, and I think it would be a good opportunity.